You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The Oakland A's concluded the winter meetings with, exactly the same team as they started with, because they were very quiet, but there's still weeks left to go in the offseason, so we'll keep our eye on what they're doing. Let's talk to Jane Lee about that. I'm Allison Fetter. Jane, they really had a very quiet winter meetings, and they're in search of they're still in search of a center fielder, correct? Is that their main priority?
Yes, they need a center fielder badly. It kind of depends. I mean, I think right now you look at who's off the board, who's on the board as far as free agents go. I'm not sure that there's any real fits in that area. I think they're more inclined to find one through a trade. And there are teams out there right now. When you look at the Royals, they have a surplus of outfielders, several of which are going to be free agents at the end of next season. And I know throughout the winter meetings and the A's had been linked to Jerod Dyson. I wrote about him a couple times just because he is a good fit for them. I mean, it's not a splashy name, but, you know, let's be realistic. It's the A's. They're not about to go out and get, one of those big free agent names or, for that matter, someone like a big name through a trade. So I think, you look at their roster, they need a leadoff guy. They want to improve on their defense. They want to improve on their on-base percentage. I mean, Dyson brings all of those things, and I think he could be a nice complement to their lineup while also upgrading their defense. And beyond that, they're really keeping their eyes out for essentially anyone. They're casting a wide net. I know the Rockies are another team right now. After adding Ian Desmond, you kind of look to see where they go next. Do they trade one of their outfielders? So I think there are options out there, but the A's aren't the only team looking for a center fielder, and I think that's kind of what is maybe slowing things down or, preventing them from maybe making a deal sooner than later. But there's still a ton of time left, and, I mean, you see teams all the time making a lot of their bigger moves, in December and January and sometimes even February. So it's not like, they're going to go into spring training without having made a deal. I mean, this will get done at some point or another. They've been very adamant about the fact that they need a center fielder just because there's no short-term or long-term options in their organization right now. So that still remains their number one need the rest of the winter.
Yeah, it is. There was such a flurry of deals that were done at the winter meetings that it's easy to forget that you don't actually have to make all your deals at the winter meetings. And there's been years where, the winter meetings are actually pretty quiet, but certainly not this year. So moving on to a totally different topic. So the A's have shifted their Fan Fest from their ballpark to a different area. Fan Fest is coming up, I think, at the end of January. So seems like they are trying to upgrade in that area while they're trying to upgrade their team. But what can you tell us about the Fan Fest?
Yeah, I think right now, while they're just kind of, going through their search for a new stadium site and being realistic about the fact that they will remain in the Coliseum for at least several more years, in the meantime, they really want to upgrade the fan experience. They want to get fans back into the Coliseum. And their attendance has just been absolutely awful for several years. And with a new president coming in, Dave Cavill, he's looking at, every avenue to do this. And I think for him, it kind of started with FanFest and, maybe switching things up a bit. And not only are they moving locations and moving it to a really nice location. I mean, Jack London Square, just one of those waterfront destinations, real enjoyable, lots around, just a good atmosphere. But they're also making it free for fans, which I know a lot of teams do, but in the past, I think the A's had charged fans maybe $5, $6 to get in, but not this year. They're making it free for them. And I know there's always a ton of player involvement, so I'm kind of interested to see how, they set things up and how it all works out. But it's kind of exciting to see, you know, someone coming in and making changes and really wanting to just improve that fan experience. And I think I saw Cavill tweeting the other day also about maybe bringing food trucks to the Coliseum. And I don't think it's any secret that the food options at the Coliseum right now aren't the most inspiring. I don't think that it's ever been a destination for foodies. But, you know, I think so for him to recognize that and, you know, be thinking of creative ways to maybe draw in more fans. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a step in the right direction. Of course, the Coliseum's not going to be, you know, fixed overnight. They're not going to get a new stadium overnight, but there's little things that they can do in the interim. And I think the fact that they are focusing on that, something we really haven't seen, you know, it is nice to see.
Yeah. One last question. And I know this is way before your time, is way before my time, but so I'm not going to ask you the details on his broadcasting career, but Bill King, the late broadcaster for the A's and a big and many other sports in the Bay Area, it was announced last week that he is receiving the 4th D. Frick Award for excellence in baseball broadcasting. This selection resonated. I mean, it was so talked about. I saw people that knew him like just overcome with emotion that he finally won this award. He passed away, I believe, 11 years ago. I'm sure that as somebody that covers baseball in the Bay Area, you have probably learned a lot about him over time. But just were you kind of struck by like how ecstatic people that knew him were that he won this award?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was an emotional day for so many people in the Bay Area. And not just people close to the A's, but, I mean, he resonated with, I mean, you know, beyond baseball. Of course, he also did broadcasting with the Warriors and the Raiders as well. And his impact in the community in the Bay Area, I mean, it can't be overstated. And, I mean, there's so many people that had been waiting for this day for so long. I think, you know, everyone would agree that Ken Korak, the A's radio broadcaster. I mean, no one wanted this more than he did. I mean, he wanted this so badly for Bill that he wrote a book about him. And I mean, he did everything he could to get him into the Hall of Fame. And I know, you know, he spent, I think, most of his morning crying when he found out the news. So I mean, you know, you really, really were happy for guys like Korak and, of course, for Bill King's family. And just really cool to see, because I think it got to a point where people were wondering, you know, is this ever going to happen? And the fact that it did, I mean, people are just absolutely thrilled. And it really was a cool day for the A's and also for the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think it's great. And, yeah, Ken Korak is feels so passionately about him. It was such a sad loss when he passed away. So good for everybody. Okay, Jane, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next time.
All right, thank you.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.